It's a long way from the back of the church to the end of the front, so let's just pray. Let's just ask for God to come and open his word for us tonight, today, this morning, here in the morning. Gracious, loving God, we just give you thanks for your word and how it is a light to our path. Lord, I just ask today that you open up this passage that we have heard. May it speak to us afresh and anew. May it challenge us to understand your great love for your people here in the world. Oh Lord, we just ask this in your holy name. May the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, be upon us now so that we may hear your word speak into our lives today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, church, we have been looking at a number of things leading up to this Christmas series. So we're in a new series. This is our second week here, and we are focusing on the good news, that is the gospel. And over the little while leading up to Christmas, we've actually focused on a couple of things. And how important it is for Christians to share the good news, to share the gospel. I mean, we looked at 2 Timothy and how the Apostle Paul was charging Timothy to go and preach the good news to those around, to share that good news with others. We also saw 2 weeks ago how the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Romans, declared that he was not ashamed of the gospel. The big question I have for us today that I want to kind of grapple with and, you know, explore a little bit is what is the gospel? What is this good news? So today we're going to explore that reading we've just had, a reading from Luke's gospel. And interestingly, you'll notice that this is one of the readings that we use at Christmas Eve. Now, we all know it's not Christmas Eve because we're not looking so frantic. You know, we're kind of still getting into that Christmas mode at the moment. But what I want us to do, rather than just like, oh, let's just hear it again, and this is Christmas Eve, and I want us to explore a little bit for us and the importance of that statement by the angels to declare that good news to the shepherds. But before we discuss the Bible passage, I just want to share with you and explore the concept, especially on news and especially good news. Interestingly, I did a little bit of research, and if you know me, I love research papers. So, of course, I went to one of the eminent scientific papers called Nature. It's actually, and Nature's now branched into a number of, other parts. But this is a research article from Nature Human Behavior. And it's actually titled, and I'm, before I go too far, I actually have to say, if you to get into Nature or any of the publications within Nature, you have to have peer review of your research. So it's actually well thought of research. And this is the title of the research: Negativity Drives Online News Consumption. There we are. So negativity drives online news consumption. It shows that if you put in negative words into the headlines of or taglines of news articles, people are more likely online to click that article and read it. If you put in some negative term within that online kind of headline there, you'll actually find that people will share that more than if you put in a positive word. So if your news article is positive, they actually found that it's a negative correlation. In other words, puts it down, people are not going to read it, and people are not going to share it. Are you feeling a bit sad at the moment? How sad it is on our society that, you know, what we do is we look for those things that are negative. Have you ever driven by a road accident? What do we do? What do we do? We slow down and we go like this, don't we? As we drive along, we love to see, for some unbeknown reason, wreckage. Interestingly, there's a phrase in the newsroom, newspaper room, and it says this: if it bleeds, it leads. If it bleeds, it leads. In other words, it's a phrase that's coined by the journalist that reflects that that stories that are about crime, about bloodshed, about tragedy, sells more newspapers than stories that are good. You know, so how do we go about this when our Bible is about good news? The Bible is different to an online news service. It's different to a newspaper. And having said all of this, what I want us to do is discuss that word, that the gospel. Now the Greek word for it, and I'll put it up on the screen for you, evangelion, actually literally means the good news. The word that we translate gospel, it actually literally means good news. And evangelion, it's where we get evangelical or evangelism. It's where we have the thing about sharing that good news with others, about taking that message that we find within the Bible and sharing it to the world. So, you know, if you claim yourself as somebody that is a Christian, and maybe even in the best sense of the word, evangelical, it's about somebody that shares the good news, that embodies that good news of Christ within your own life and shares that with the world around them. Somebody that's willing to share that good news about Jesus Christ, about his life, his death, and resurrection from the dead. But let's face it, you know, as Christians, the word gospel gets thrown around a lot, doesn't it? It gets thrown around a lot loosely, and especially in Christian circles. And we assume that people know what it means when we say the gospel of Jesus Christ, or we want to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We assume that people actually know what it is. So I want to go back to that that reading that we had before from Luke's gospel, from chapter 2, and I'll put it on the screen for you, and through to verse 12. From chapter 2, verses 8 through to 12. And it says this: that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And notice that this is after Jesus' birth. Jesus had just been born then. And guarding their flocks of sheep, suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory shone around them. And they were terrified. I bet you they were. Suddenly go, oh my goodness, what's going on? But the angels reassured them, don't be afraid. He said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. So what is the good news? The good news that the angel is sharing is that God has come down and been born as a baby named Jesus all those years ago in Bethlehem. He's the chosen one. He's from the line of David. He is the Messiah. He's the Savior of all the people. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, laying in a manger. So they've been given a sign of what there is to come. And that we know from the story that they go off and they go and pay homage. They worship this baby because the news had been shared with them. And they accepted that news and they followed up on what that news was there for them. Jesus, at the very beginning of his ministry, if we were to have a look in Mark's gospel, just in the very beginning of Mark's gospel, in Mark 1, verses 14 to 15, I'll put it on the screen for you. There it is. Actually says this, and this is the beginning of his ministry And it says, later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. And I'll say it again, God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. So he's talking about himself here. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe in the good news. Believe the good news. This is Jesus at the very beginning saying, he's come now. It's here and the good news is here for us. Believe in this. Jesus announces the good news. So if we were to explore, if we were to pick up our Bible and start to explore where we find the good news, the Gospels. You know, notice when we look at the Bible in the New Testament, the first four books of the New Testament are called what? The Gospels. In other words, the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each of these four Gospels are not mere historic chronicles of about Jesus, but they are a narrative announcement. Let me say this. They are a narrative announcement about Jesus. They make a significant claim that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel and is the true Lord of the world. That's what they're doing. The stories claim to recount the history and aim to actually persuade those who read these Gospels, read the good news about Jesus, that persuade you to acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord and actually become a disciple, a follower of Jesus. That's what they're there for. Each of the four Gospels recount real historic events. Each of the authors have taken the core stories of Jesus and use their editorial skills to arrange and craft various facets of the account of Jesus, creating a focus on various aspects of the uniqueness of God here with us. As I say this, I want to say to you that when we read these things, that they are not just information. The good news is not that we have here in the Bible is not just information. The good news is not just mere advice on what to do. The good news is actually an announcement. And it's an announcement of God's great plan made real and complete in the person of Jesus. Matthew himself focuses on the facet that Jesus is actually greater than Moses and is the fulfillment of the promise in Scripture and through his resurrection is the King of heaven and therefore is the King of all earth. That's Matthew's overarching flow of what he's trying to get across about who Jesus is. So there's a facet of Jesus that he is the fulfillment of God's promise found in Scripture. Mark focuses on the facet that Jesus is that unexpected Messiah. Mark pushes the mysteries about Jesus and highlights the paradox that Jesus, one, is exalted even though he is crucified. So he is one that is exalted, but he has been led to the cross and has died and risen again. Mark focuses on that mystery. Luke, who we've read today and heard today, highlights the facets that Jesus is actually bringing the good news to all of the nations. And we know that Luke comes together with Acts, and in that Acts really pushes out and expands that story of bringing the good news into all of the world. And Luke also pushes into Jesus actually is the fulfillment of the Old Testament promise that God's salvation will reach beyond Israel and to include all the nations. John, who we often only ever read at publicly in church, if you follow the lectionary, which is the readings for the church year, we only ever try to delve into John when it's Easter or when it's Christmas. You know, I don't know why we don't delve into it more often, but you know, we do, at least we do, you focus on that. But John focuses on the facet that Jesus is is actually God incarnate. That is God here in human form for us to touch and feel, and that through Jesus that we may have eternal life. It's through God incarnate, come down from heaven here on earth, that we have new eternal life. You know, when we read these four accounts in the Bible of Jesus, we also need to realize that it's not just these four accounts. We don't just pay attention to these four books in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and delve into Acts as well. We know that the whole of the Bible actually is talking about the good news of God's intervention within the world and God's intervention with us. You know, we know that the good news is that God created everything. The God has created a beautiful and perfect order, but we have actually rebelled against God. But even though we may have revolted against God and we've sinned against to God, and let me just say this. When we talk about sin, it is that vertical sin. It's about our sin from us to God when we claim and want to take God's throne rather than being at the foot of that throne. It's not about that breath going sideways against brother and sisters as much as it is against God. That sin that we have when we place ourselves above God, when we think we are the center of the universe. But we know that that bigger overarching story is that there's been a promise that we will be saved, and that we will be restored back into God's own kingdom. And we know that that is fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And the announcement that is made, the announcement by the angels to the shepherds, is this great good news that brings so much joy, is that God has come down, been made real in this baby, that we may have eternal life, that we may have our sins forgiven forever, that the things that we have done against God have been cast as far as the east is from the west. That is the good news. No matter what we've done, no matter how bad we think, God's grace, God's goodness overcomes all of that. Let me share with you from John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 16. Because we know that when we read the Gospels, when the good news was pronounced, just like the angel said, there is great news, bring joy to those shepherds, there is a response that is required. When good news is given, there's a response that we should have. And how do we respond to it? And John gives us this response. And Jesus told him Thomas was asking about how can we follow you? Where do we know where you're going? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The response is that it is only through Jesus that we are made whole again. It's only through Jesus that we are brought back into right relationship with God. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, hear this magnificent news. Hear this amazing good news. There is more mercy in Jesus than there is any sin in you. There is more mercy in Jesus than there is any sin in you. The angel announced the good news of great joy, that Jesus was born. God came from heaven and was born as a person, living like our life, but yet fully God. It is through what Jesus did for us that we have forgiveness of sins. See, the good news, it demands a response. So I want to ask you today, as we come into prayer, and invite the band to come up and lead us in our next song. Are you willing to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today? Are you willing to respond to the good news of the birth of Christ the life of Christ, his teaching, his ministry, and his great sacrifice on the cross, and his resurrection. Are you willing to respond to that today and say, yes, you're my Lord, my Saviour, in you I trust, in you I place all things above myself. You are our Lord and Saviour. Let's just pray. But Lord God, you announced to us the good news of Christ that we celebrate again at Christmas. Lord, if we're on this verge of understanding, if we're on this verge of not knowing exactly what it means for us to be saved, what it means that there's good news that a baby was born all those years ago. Lord, speak into our lives and make it real for us, that we may understand and know your great love for all of the world. It was so great, so powerful that you gave your Son, your one and only Son, Jesus, to come into this world as a baby, to live our life. To teach, to do miracles, to be the one that saves, and ultimately to give up his life on the cross, that we may have forgiveness of our sins. Lord, I just pray that today, if there's anybody here today that is struggling or on the edge of that decision to place you, O Lord, here right now as Lord of their life, I just pray that you will just say yes now. Because it's the biggest decision you can make. It's not a negative decision, it is a positive decision. It's good news. That there's more to us. There's more to this life. There's good news found in Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we just pray this in your gracious and powerful name. Amen.